live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. George Camel, Ramsey personality, is my co-host today. He is also the host of our podcast that's very popular on Ramsey Networks, The Fine Print, where he helps you read the fine print on these companies and ideas that are screwing you over, which is what happens if you don't read the fine print, thus the name. So check it out. And also, of course, Entree Leadership Podcast, which I listened to this morning, George. It was really, really good.
Oh, thank you.
Very good stuff. So check it out. That's all for business and small business. And George is the host of that. We have wonderful world-class guests on there talking about leadership and business. This is the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Open phones this hour, 888-825-5225. The call is free, and some say the advice is worth exactly what you pay for it. 888-825-5225. Lillian starts off this hour in San Antonio. Hi, Lillian. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about, my husband passed away this March, and I received life insurance today. Thank God he worked for a company that really took care of us, but I need to know if we're going to be okay. I do have five children, four pretty much adults. I have one 15-year-old son at home. The life insurance is $954,000. He has a pension of about $280,000. And so they want to know, do I want to defer this pension or do I want to take, you know, payment monthly? It will continue to grow at 6% until retirement. So I'm not really sure. He does have about $300,000 in retirement. And so I don't really know what to do. I still, my home is worth about $700,000, but I owe $330 on it. So I want your opinion on what to do.
Okay. I'm sorry, hon.
Thank you.
How old was he?
He was only 54.
Oh, just a pup.
Yeah.
How long were y'all married?
31 years. Mm. We have, we're about to have our eighth grandchild, so. Mm. Yeah.
What happened?
He had a heart attack.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Rule number one, and then we'll back around and work around that rule. Okay.
Okay.
Sharon and I are getting ready to celebrate 40, and, We have planned for me to die first, because if she dies first, I'm not going to be able to handle it. So, because I won't be able to breathe, and that's where you are right now. You can't even get a full breath, because it's just, you know, you're sane for a few minutes, and then another wave hits you, and then you're insane for a little while, and that's called grief, and that makes you a normal human, and because your heart's broken, because, I mean, this is like your best friend for 30 years. So, so the rule is try to make as few big decisions as you can until your brain clears a little bit.
Okay.
I do this for a living, and my plan is when in the middle of a major tragedy, major grief situation, I'm going to try not to make big decisions in the middle of that, because our critical thinking skills are just messed up by the fog of pain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So all of that to say, I try to avoid just, you know, now sometimes people have to, you know, because like they don't, the good news is you got, you know, well over $1 million excess, and so you're fine. You're going to be okay. And then let's just start talking through kind of what your plan is and what you're thinking now, and then let's see how much of it we can put the brakes on. And because if you can do nothing for 6 months and just cry, that'd be like a normal human reaction.
Right.
And you make better decisions 6 months from today than you would today. Do you agree with that?
I agree, yeah.
Okay, all right. So let's just back into it from there, George. Yeah. Now, the pension, they're offering you a lump sum of $280?
They're offering payments monthly.
Yeah.
And if either that or I'm wait until retirement, it'll continue to grow for at 6%.
Oh, okay. But they're not offering you a lump sum.
No, they are not.
The $280,000 you don't have access to.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the rule on that. it's going to die when you die.
It actually won't. It will go to my children. So that's the great part. So that's the great part of
okay.
that.
How
so
much of the month? What's the monthly they're offering you today?
$1,800.
Okay. And are you? Do you work outside the home?
Very little.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So we need to create an income for you to live on. Agreed.
Right. I agree.
What does he? What did he make?
About 120.
Okay. All right. So 1800 is $20,000 a year, so we're 100,000 short.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm taking the monthly. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Because okay. accruing at 6% is not exciting to me, because you okay. can invest in good mutual funds and do considerably better than that. So even okay. if you didn't use the money, I would take it and dump it into mutual funds.
Okay.
Because I'm moving it from 6 to 10 or 12 at that point. So okay. we're going to do that one.
Do you know your household expenses monthly right now, Lillian?
They're probably at about $3,800.
Okay. So about, let's call it $50,000 a year you need to live.
How old are you?
Right. I'm 51.
Okay. The $950,000 was life insurance money.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, his $300,000 in retirement, you need to just leave alone. Right. You will be, are you the beneficiary on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to be required to draw down on that at a 10-year rate. So, I don't know if spouse is on inherited, if spouse is exempted or not.
Some of them are, they're different. Do you know the terms of it?
No, they're not different. It's either 10-year drawdown or the spouse has an exemption, one of the two. I'll have to look that up in my cheat sheet notes. But either way.
So if we're taking the life insurance, Dave, are we saying to invest this to create the income for her? Or is she going to need part of it temporarily in order to create an income to live on?
Do you think you're going to keep the house?
So I wanted to keep it for at least 3 years until my son graduates high school.
Okay, good.
The market here is crazy. I can't buy anything for $300,000
right.
in my area.
Right. Okay. Okay, there's two options we can go with the 950. All right? You can either invest it all and keep the mortgage in place, which is trying to not make big decisions. Okay.
Okay.
Or you can pay off the mortgage and invest 600. Either way, okay. you sit down with a SmartVestor Pro in your area and sit down, and they'll help guide you through that. And they can answer the question on how fast you've got to draw down that retirement, because I'm conflicted here. I can't remember what it is. I got to look it up the break. It's killing me. But they changed the law about 18 months ago, and I've forgotten what they changed it to. But, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is The Ramsey Show. Personality is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Pam is in Atlanta. Hi, Pam. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hey, how's everybody?
Great. How can we help today?
Okay, so I am calling because my husband and I have finally decided that we need to take care of our financial situation.
Good.
About 3 or 4 years ago, his aunt handed us the Total Money Makeover book, and we took it, and we were like, no, we're okay. We're surviving.
Used it for a coaster.
We're okay.
It was a coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then we passed it along to another family member and said, oh, you might need this more than we do. And we're finally tired of surviving. We're tired of, you know, the paycheck to paycheck, and we have everything we need. But
I think she's ready, George.
Nothing to show for it.
That's the biggest step of all. I'm proud of you, Pam.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, thank you.
Give us a picture, a snapshot of your financial picture. What's your income and how much debt do you guys have?
Okay, so before taxes, we're right at 130. We bring home 98.8 a year between the two of us. Debt is about 76,000. Also, we have we kind of built our home. Well, we didn't kind of. We built our home ourselves. My husband really built it on some family land. So kind of like a barn dominium. So we have no mortgage. So all of that debt is credit card loans and then two car payments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So okay. I have ordered the book.
How can we best help you today?
Okay, so I ordered the book from Amazon. They sent me the wrong book, and I sent it back, and now they're supposedly sending me the right one. And I guess I just need you to tell me, like, just push me in that direction. I don't want to say I'm a skeptic, but, you know, I do a budget every quarter. I used to do an annual budget, and it never worked. It always fell apart.
It doesn't work.
So, I started doing a quarterly budget.
That doesn't work either.
Yeah, that's sometimes some months it works, it doesn't and then work. Some months it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah,
because so, every month is different,
right?
And you're trying to operate off a template instead of reality.
This is correct.
And
yeah.
So it won't work unless you do one before the month begins each and every month, because that way you're customizing what my income is that month. I know exactly what it's going to be for the coming month in almost every case, and I know exactly what my expenses are going to be, or are really good, accurate projection of them. And so you take all of your income and you give every one of those dollars a name, a mission before the month begins. And here's the hard part. Any goober can do that. You can do that on a yellow pad. Okay?
Sure.
It's sixth grade math, third grade math. All right? But the trick is then to actually use that through the whole month and not do anything with money except what's on that paper.
Right.
And you and your husband pinky swear and spit shake and agree to, this is a freaking contract. And so the way we always used to teach it in the old days in FPU, and it still applies today, is, you remember when you were a little kid? I was a little kid. My little sister would say, you're not the boss of me. And that's the deal with the budget. The budget is not the boss of you. You get to tell the budget what it's going to do until the budget is done. And then the budget becomes the boss of you.
Right.
But you're the boss of it until it's down on that paper, and then it's telling you what to do. So it's saying, no pizza tonight, goober. You're $76,000 in debt. Stay at home and eat leftovers. That's the budget bossing you around. But if you're not looking at it and going, we're about to go over on our food budget, you won't stay home. You'll look back at the end of the month and go, oh, we went over on our budget again. Budgets don't work. No, you didn't stick to it. Budgets work if you stick to them.
Right.
But you can't do that on a quarterly or annual basis. It does not work, though. So
okay.
That's the part of the budget thing that works. And then we're going to show you the whole system to get you completely out of debt and become wealthy all the way through.
Spoiler alert.
But then the trick is you got to do every one of the steps.
Okay.
And if you think we're wrong, we're not. You are. We've shown 10 million people how to do this. I don't know anything about anything, but this stuff, I got it dialed in.
And Pam, the average person to do this stuff, they'll get out of debt within 18 to 24 months. If they get on a budget, they get serious, they start making some sacrifices. And based on the numbers you laid out, that's you guys. You can do this stuff.
And you've got money coming out of your check for retirement and or big health insurance or something else, because you got too much coming out of your check.
Yeah. Yeah. It's health insurance and 401k for mine.
Yeah. So you're going to stop your 401k temporarily. Are you getting a big tax refund too?
Not big. No.
What's
usually
not big?
Between $1,200 and $1,500.
Okay. All right. Then that's only $100 a month. Too much is coming out of your check for taxes.
Okay.
So we adjust that a little bit, but not much. And then we're just going to get on beans and rice and beans, because we want to be out of debt more than we care what somebody thinks. And that might mean selling a car. It might mean not. It will mean not going on vacation or going out to eat until you clean up this freaking mess you made. And then you're going to be free. What would it be like to have no payments in the world?
That would be awesome. Now, our next step after, we would like to either purchase or build a house.
No, not now. Not now. You're broke.
No. After all of this is done.
Okay. Well, let's get out of debt first.
That's our goal.
Yeah, get out of debt, build your emergency fund, and then you can start piling up cash and build you a house with cash.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Because if you don't have any payments, you're going to have this thing called money because you make $130,000 a year.
Right. Okay. So, what do I need to do today until my book gets here, the correct book gets here?
Well, here's what I want you to do. Are you doing a budget on paper right now, Excel? What are you doing?
On paper. Handwrite it in paper. Okay. I have a big yellow binder that stays
on top of the book that's coming your way. I'm going to gift you Ramsey Plus that includes Every Dollar Premium and Financial Peace University. And so in the meantime, what I want you to do is start your Every Dollar budget. This is digital. It's going to be easier to track than pen and paper, and I think that's going to do better for you. And watch all of the videos in Financial Peace University on top of that until the book gets there. The book is fantastic, and it's going to have stories to inspire you.
Financial Peace University is better.
If I could recommend one thing, and you're willing to do it, that's those 9 lessons.
So tonight, we're going to sign you up. Tonight, you and your husband watch the first lesson.
Okay.
And download the Every Dollar app and start your budget tonight on the Every Dollar.
Okay.
And the both of you now, you really have to be committed to the vision of this. And it's a life change situation, but it's going to set you free if you do it.
Okay.
Because you got to get tired of being tired.
I'm so tired of living like this.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Hey, you got this. You can do it.
The only place is up from here, Pam. Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Hang on. We're going to, Austin will pick up and get you signed up. You know, I spoke to a group the other day, and I got to listen to a group of guys and gals that had come through a drug rehab center.
Mm.
And what they said was, 4 different ones got up, and they'd been clean and dry for 2, 3, 4 years, got their life back, you know, got to see their children again. Their children had been taken away from them, everything else. These were hardcore drug addicts, crack, heroin, you know, everything. And they were completely dry and completely cleaned up. And I got to listen to them, and then I talked to them a little bit afterwards. And every one of them said, and the guy running the rehab center said, the people that get clean and stay clean all share one thing. They always at some point say, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've been running from these drugs or to these drugs for so long. And the ones that are ready to change say, I'm tired. So when someone says, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, like she said, she's tired of this. That's always
that's
really
a great
good
indicator.
Sign. Now, she's not doing heroin.
That helps too.
But I mean, the point, you're right. But the point is that it's all behavior change, and behavior change is behavior change. I mean, if you look down and you go, I'm tired of being fat, you know, I looked down, I gained a whole bunch of weight eating donuts during COVID, and I said, I'm tired of being fat. I'm tired. And I was physically tired too, but
that's when life change starts.
Yeah, there's that.
But yeah. You can Google how to get out of debt, but doing it's the hard part.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows what to do.
The knowledge is easy.
How do you lose weight? You eat less and you exercise more. Away from the donuts, Ramsey. Get away from the donuts, boy.
I'll slap it out of your hand if I see one.
All right.
I'll see how that goes for me.
Yeah, see how that works out for you. This is The Ramsey Show. If current times have shown us anything, it's that the least expected events can and will happen, and we have to deal with it. That's why everyone who has a family counting on them needs term life insurance. For over 25 years, the only insurance company I've recommended is Zander Insurance. Not only because they search all of the top term life plans to find you the best rates, but over the years, they have constantly changed and updated their systems to make the whole process simpler and easier to get the protection needed. You can now apply with a completely touchless experience, with everything being done either over the phone or the internet. They also have plans with super competitive rates that don't require an exam, allowing you to skip a step and get the coverage you need faster. Go to Zander.com or call 800-356-4282. Great rates and a simple process mean there's no excuse to not get this done, people.
Ramsey personality is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Maurice and Z are with us in Phoenix, Arizona. Says on my screen, you guys are debt-free. Congratulations.
Yes, Dave. What's going on, man?
Thank you. It's good to hear from you all.
You too. Congratulations. How much have you paid off?
We paid off $62,000, Dave, in 10 months.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
It was $135,000, Dave.
Oh, I love it. Good for you. Yeah. So what kind of debt was the 62?
So the debt consisted of, it was $3,000 from the IRS and then also $59,000 from Navient. We kicked Navient out the basement. Woo.
Get rid of ugly Uncle Navient. I love it.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a brother to Sally Mae, brother and sister of ugly.
They might be kissing cousins.
They're brother and sister of ugly. I love it. You guys are awesome, man. Congratulations. What made you decide to do this 10 months ago?
Honestly, Dave, I got put on to you in 2017 from my cousin Ashley, and she gave me the Total Money Makeover, and so I read that, and then I also was able to hear one of your, you was talking about how to become an everyday millionaire on YouTube, and so after hearing that, I was just sold, because, you know, where I'm from, we only talk about, you know, becoming a millionaire, you have to, you know, play a professional sport or just, you know, blow up and be famous, so... After I heard that, you know, regular people can do it, I was just sold. And then I put my then, you know, girlfriend Z on to you back then in 2017.
Yeah. And so back then, I only had a car payment. That's pretty much the only debt that I ever carried. And I was living with my parents and I wanted to move out. And so I was like, I read your Total Money Makeover. And I was like, wow, I literally could, you know, just pay off my car payment. I'm living rent free. I don't really have bills. Like, why am I sitting on this? So I paid my car off fairly quickly and moved out on my own. And the rest is history.
Wow. All right. How long y'all been married?
We've been married for 1 year and 4 months, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you get married, you decide, all right, we're really doing this. Whatever debt is left, we got to clean up. And it's old Uncle Navient.
Yes, Dave. And unfortunately, you know, I brought the debt into the marriage. So, when we got married, we cash flowed our wedding that consisted of $20,000. And then we hit the ground running, Dave, just, you know, working extra jobs. I remember working, you know, 6-7 days a week sometimes. Z was also putting in extra work as well and delaying, you know, that gratification, right? And just, not going on vacation, you know, telling friends no, you know, when we want to go out. And we were just locked in and have the tunnel vision, Dave.
Wow. What was the highest paying side job you guys did?
I would say the highest paying side job I did was officiating youth football on the weekend.
Oh, nice.
So I made some pretty good money doing that. Yeah, it was fun, man.
What's that pay?
It pays $50 a game, Dave. So I would do anywhere from 4 to 5, sometimes 6 games a Saturday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that can add up. Yeah.
Crushing it.
That's good.
So you guys saw what was on the other side of debt freedom, and that excited you.
Absolutely.
And you were willing to do whatever it took to get there. And 10 months, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, 8 years of sacrificing and not living and doing these side jobs. For 10 months, you can do just about anything.
Yeah, but I got to go back. Maurice, there's probably a story I'm troubled by. I don't understand. You started in 2017, but you didn't really start.
Well, I started I paid off my car. So that was like one of the biggest things. But
what I'm saying is when Z came into the equation, you got with it.
Oh, absolutely. I kicked it into high gear for sure.
That's what the calendar tells me. About the time she showed up, we got rid of Uncle Navient.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right. It was a lot of theory until Z, and Z's kicking it in gear now. Am I missing something?
Yeah. No, I'm definitely a numbers person. And so in order to come into this marriage, Murray's new. Like, okay, we actually have to have a plan. We have to get this done.
Yeah.
And there's no way that this was just going to linger around in our marriage. So, yep.
Now, Maurice, take notes on this, because next time you bring something up, she's going to make you do it, okay? I'm just saying. I like it. This is good. Y'all are awesome. You're fun. Way to go. I'm so proud of you. How's it feel to be free?
Man, it feels great, Dave, just to be able to, you know, once the bills are covered, just to look at the budget and just see all that extra freedom that we can do, you know, where, you know, right now, you know, saving for a home right now, so that's exciting. So it just feels amazing. Just to, it gives a better sense of peace, you know, going to bed at night. And then also, too, it relieved a lot of tension within our marriage as well.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I do love what you said earlier, Maurice, when you said, because you're like me, you said, I came from a neighborhood where we thought the only way to, you know, be wealthy was to be famous or something. And be an athlete, yeah, or somehow become famous. And when you actually understand the numbers and you start to go, hey, if guys that come from neighborhood like Maurice or Dave can do this, anybody can do this, right? And that's a good message for everybody to hear.
Absolutely, Dave. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Because, you know, just like you said, Dave, you know, where I'm from, you know, this is what you see, you know, just people going to NFL or NBA, but people don't talk about the grind, just living under your means, right? Living debt free, and that provides a lot of freedom in your life. So, yes, that's absolutely correct.
Well, proud of you guys again. So awesome. Who are your biggest cheerleaders outside the two of you? Who was saying, go for it, you can do it?
Yeah, we had a ton of family and friends who knew about us being on this journey, and they would cheer us on. But I have my best friend, Sydney, who you all got to speak with her a couple of months ago. She called in and did her debt-free screen from Phoenix as well. I remember we started our journey together at the beginning, and we actually finished around the same time. I remember calling, you know, after a long day at work and things of that matter, and we would call each other and just talk about, like, what the first thing we were going to buy when we were debt-free, what we were going to do. And so it just, it was really nice just having her along this journey with us. We kind of were a trio here.
That's cool. That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story for sure. You guys are on your way, Maurice.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a Baby Steps Millionaire, man. I want to talk to you on the on that hour when we're doing that hour one of these days, and I'll remember talking to you today when that happens. And also send you a copy of Total Money Makeover, which mm-hmm. you can hand out to someone and get them started. That's what got you started. I'm also going to send you a 1-year subscription to Financial Peace and Every Dollar through Ramsey
wow.
Plus. And if you've not been if you've not been through it, you guys go through it as a wedding gift. If you have been through it and you want to give it away to somebody and get them started, a lot of people buy these 1-year subscriptions and give them away. So whatever you want to do, we're going to send it to you either way. And we're just proud of you guys. Way to go.
Amazing.
Thank you
so much, Dave.
All
we
right.
appreciate it, man.
You bet. Maurice and Z, Phoenix, Arizona, $62,000 in 10 months, making $135,000. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1. We're debt-free!
Yeah! I love it! That's how it's done right there, man.
You don't need to wait on student loan forgiveness. You can just kick Uncle Navian out yourself.
Oh,
it's
Uncle
more
Navian.
Enjoyable that way.
And he's the bothersome old uncle. You know, not the cool uncle.
He's a little creepy.
He's the creepy
he's
uncle.
He's hanging around.
He's in the bedroom, won't leave. He just sleeps
asking
all the time.
Asking for money every month.
He wants money all the time. He's always standing around with his hand out.
That's true.
And he learned it from his cousin Sally.
That's right.
So, I mean, they're everybody's got relatives, one or two like that you just don't want living with you.
No.
Uncle Navient, Aunt Sally, they got to go, people.
They got to go. They get their own place.
And let me just tell you, Uncle Joe's not going to get rid of them.
Try as he might.
He's going to talk about it, but he's an enabler.
That's a good way to put it. Never heard it said that way.
In so many ways. This is The Ramsey Show.
Ramsey personality is my co-host. Elliot is in Miami. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you all?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Yeah, I got a question regarding estate planning and basically which way you guys suggest to go, whether it be a will or a trust. I have a friend who, I'm 30. I've got a friend who's also around that age. And his estate planning attorney was pushing him towards a trust. I was under the impression you only really needed a trust if you were, you know, a gazillionaire type deal. So I just wanted to get your all's thoughts.
Your impression was correct. Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk it through for a second. You do need a will. Even if you have a trust, you need a will still. Okay. And you can get one at mamabearlegalforms.com. What's your net worth?
My net worth is right around $750 to $650, depending on what day I look at it right now.
Good for you. Well done.
Awesome.
Okay, so the only thing a trust, an irrevocable trust does for you is the items, the assets that you retitle after forming the trust, and the trust will cost about $3,000, a will will cost $300 to $500. Okay? Mm-hmm. The only thing the trust does for you is it does absolutely nothing on federal estate tax. You do not have a large enough estate to be taxed on a federal level. The only thing is each state has you file probate on your estate when you die, your heirs would, and they file with the probate court, and each state has a probate tax. Typically, they're 3%, 2%, something like that. I don't know what Florida's is. Okay? There's a lot of Tennessee's is less than 2%. Okay? So that's what you would save on the amount that you put in the trust. You'd save 2%.
Okay. And yeah, and that's actually, that's the reason that the attorney was pushing them that way. He was essentially saying your kids will save the money. You can, your kids will save the money in the long run.
Exactly. Here's the problem. Okay. Whatever you put into that trust, every time you do a transaction with it, you have to involve the trustee. It's an absolute pain in the butt.
Okay. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. Every time you do a transaction on the item that is in the trust, it's an absolute pain in the butt. You have to go get a trustee to sign everything. You can't, if you put your house in this trust, you can't sell your house without involving the trustee.
Okay.
They have to come to the closing. They have to do all the stuff. They have to sign the contracts. They have to do everything because you no longer own the house. The trust now owns the house. And so operationally for a young guy like you, because you're going to do a lot of deals with these assets throughout your life, operationally having them all in an irrevocable trust is an absolute pain in the butt. And I got to tell you, my net worth is well in excess of what is needed for estate planning on the federal level, hundreds of millions of dollars. And I do not have a trust of the type that we are talking about because I operationally, even at 62 years old, don't want to screw with. If I get ready to sell a piece of property, I don't want to screw with having to do with all this stuff. So now I do have some trusts in my estate plan of a different type and a different ilk. But
that's more of a liability but asset protection.
You know, the truth is, if I were you, I wouldn't do it. And I haven't done it, and mine is, and I've got a lot larger net worth than you. So we don't recommend spending the extra $3,000 and putting yourself in a position of all this hassle to save 20 grand.
Well, and when you think about it, what does the estate planning attorney have to gain? Well, he's going to make 10x selling you a trust versus getting you a will. And it's like a whole life insurance salesman. Yeah.
Except that this actually does work.
Sure.
It's
not a crappy product.
If it's 2% on $1 million, it saves you your estate 20 grand. If you've paid $3,000 to do that, that's a fair trade, not counting all the fact that you got to go through all the freaking hassle of operating everything this way. And
as he gets older, and if he has a few million dollars and a bunch of assets
that you're not going to do anything with, you're going to let it sit there. You're never going to touch it while you're alive, or you have a piece of property that you absolutely are never going to touch while you're alive. You can throw it into a trust and it won't get probated. So that's helpful in that regard, but it's a pain in the butt. I'm not a fan. Kevin is with us in Philadelphia. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. How are you?
Better than we deserve, sir. How can we help?
So I am in the process of engaging or proposing to my girlfriend next weekend.
Fun.
So I've been, I'm excited. So I've been trying to save, or I've been saving for a wedding and stuff for, you know, our house, that we're possibly getting married next year. So right now I own a, or not own, finance, a Toyota Camry 21. I owe $32,000. Not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I had to replace the transmission. And because of that, there is a negative equity of $8,000. I'm thinking
Wait a minute. Replacing the transmission does not cause negative equity.
Really?
Yeah, your car did not go in down in value because you put a new transmission in it.
Oh, okay.
It would go down in value if it was sitting on the side of the road with no transmission.
But you paid to replace it, right?
Yeah.
The car is operating just fine.
Yes.
Transmission was installed by a reputable firm.
Yes.
Yep. Who told you the car went down in value because of this?
This is kind of my assumption.
Okay. All right. Great news. You're wrong.
Okay, good. I'm happy. So the problem is I make only $40,000 a year. And
you need to sell the car.
Right now, I'm sorry. Yeah?
Yeah, you need to sell the car, but we need to find out what the car is really worth. Jump on KellyBlueBook.com at KBB.com and put in their private sale. So if you sold it individual to another individual, what you could get for it, not trade in value, because you're not going to trade it, you're going to sell it. And how much do you owe on it again?
$32,000.
Okay, and what did you say the model was?
It's a Toyota Camry 21.
A 21. Okay. I'm going to guess and say you probably can get out of it. It'll probably sell for enough to pay it off. Used car market's white hot still. Still a shortage on cars.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong, but just look it up, see what you can sell it for, see what it'll bring.
Do you have any money, Kevin, in the bank?
Yes, I have about, I think, $10,000. Saved.
He's got to buy an engagement ring, and he's got to get out of this car. Yeah. So we want you to get you like a $5,000 car and get rid of this thing so that you get your life back because you have no payments at this point. And, man, you're going to be able to pile up money so fast because that car payment stinks, man. That's like a $650 car payment, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Almost like I've done this before.
And once she says yes, you have no one to impress. So it doesn't matter if you're driving a $5,000 car.
Oh, and by the way, if she is only impressed with your $32,000 car, she's not the one.
Yeah, you're right.
That's fun. Congrats, man. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah, you're getting ready to change your whole life. You're getting ready to be engaged and no payments. Life is good for you. Yeah. Get on the line. Let's figure out what this car is worth, and let's get rid of it, brother. And get you a little cheap car that you pay cash for. And then save like crazy and move up in car later. You don't have to drive a hoopty the rest of your life, but you need to be driving one right now so you can get your life back. Because right now, Toyota's taking all your money.
I'm just shocked that a year-old Camry had the transmission go out. That's pretty wild.
You know what? That's a good point.
Is that an under warranty? Man,
well, there ought to be a factory warranty, not an extended warranty on
that. But he said he paid for it, so too late now. But who knows? I'd look into that, though, for sure.
Yeah, too late.
I'm fighting that.
Probably too late.
What drives me crazy, though, is people going, well, Dave, you can't find a car for under $15,000 right now. There's no clunkers. Listen, I go to Auto Trader. I do sort by lowest price to highest, and there's plenty of cars. Are they beautiful?
No.
Do they work just fine?
Barely.
It'll get you around. You'll be okay. And they're going for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. There's still cheap cars out there, but you're not going to impress anyone driving down the road with it. Give it a fancy name. Call Rusty.
Yeah. Old Bluebird.
Did you have any names for any of your clunkers?
Oh, yeah. They all had names.
Were they female? I feel like that's kind of the thing for guys.
Yeah. No, I had the one that was Bondo colored, and we called it Bluebird.
Oh, I like that.
Because it's kind of like blue color Bondo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So makes it prettier.
Not sure what the real color was because it was mainly repairs.
It was just duct tape.
Yeah. It was
bailing wire.
Really ugly. When I drive a nice car now, I just remember old Bluebird, and I figure I drove like no one else, so now I can drive like no one
else.
There
it is.
This is the Ramsey Show. Dave here. We just launched a brand new audience survey for the Ramsey Show, and we'd love your feedback. You could be entered to win a $500 Visa gift card. No purchase necessary. Take the survey at RamseySolutions.com/survey.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.